The recent move to the South dismantled shabby fences of my mind, accessed those disused yet vast terrains of the heart. In one audacious clean sweep, the crumbled parts of my soul, mangled memories of decades past, were simply gone. The radical and permanent removal of debris, rubble, and tears rewound back months and years, grew flowers in empty fields. Emboldened by the sight, I dared to open to life and grow the next version of me under the Portuguese sun.
Olá e bem-vindo! Welcome to The Simple Life, an insider's perspective into Portugal. We already know about Portugal's amazing weather, food and people. In this podcast, we go deeper and meet the real people who make this country so wonderful. Dylan, who has made his life in Portugal, shares an insider's perspective into what makes Portugal the unique, beautiful and amazing country that it is. Join him and his guests every week as they shed some light on the incredible people, culture, history and lifestyle that makes Portugal so appealing. A country where everyone feels like they belong. This podcast is sponsored by Portugal Realty. Welcome to The Simple Life.
On this week's episode, I'm joined by Anna Mulock-Howard. Anna is originally from Poland, but after having lived and worked all over the world, Anna discovered Portugal and, in her own words, found her geographic soulmate. We discuss, amongst other things, her first visit to Portugal and how it was love at first sight, what she loves about living in Portugal, what she loves about having a young child in Portugal, what she loves about the Portuguese people, what she loves about the simple life right here in Portugal. And like any good soulmate, Anna has written beautiful poetry about Portugal, and she shares some of her writing. For those of you listening, head over to our YouTube channel to watch some of this episode, and now over to my conversation with Anna. Welcome back, or welcome to another episode of Portugal, The Simple Life, and I'm joined here by Anna Mulock-Howard. Anna, good morning, and thank you for being on the podcast. How are you?
Good morning, Dylan. I'm very well because I'm in Portugal, of course. I'm typically very well these days.
Wonderful. It always feels good to be in Portugal.
It does, indeed. We'll talk about it. That's my favorite, it's my favorite discussion subject is Portugal these days.
It's a good one. And that's why we're going to talk. So Anna, why don't you just start off by telling us a little bit about you?
Yeah. So before I launch myself into my personal history for a moment, I just wanted to tell you that I'm a complete Portugal fanatic. And I don't know if you are prepared for that. For that level of intensity. You know, I think that Portugal is like my geographic soulmate. And I, although it may sound weird, I love it much the way we love a human being, you know, very profoundly. And I feel so, you know, in love here for 2 years already. And it's just not getting better at all for me. I'm going deeper and deeper into Portugal, which is a wonderful feeling. So that's to start us in this conversation today. And as far as I'm concerned, Anna Mulock-Howard, I was born in Poland. So I'm originally Polish. I'm a child of two surgeons and literally grew up in a hospital, which sounds a bit glamorous for some people, but it was not. I grew up under communism in Poland with, you know, martial law and Western sanctions and solidarity movements, of great unrest. That's a topic for yet another podcast, I guess. I lived in several countries as an adult. I lived in Germany, in Belgium, in Switzerland, a little bit in the UK. I speak 5 languages completely fluently. Portuguese is not one of them. Not one
yet,
of them.
Yet.
Yet, yet. So I'm on it, you know, trying to master it as we speak. You know, all these languages were just out of necessity of being a forever expat. I put myself on this path of, you know, never living in my own country. So I needed to integrate, obviously, to some extent, and participate in the social and economic life of any country. So hence, I had to learn all these languages. So I'm married to a Dutchman who is also international. He was born in Japan, grew up in Hong Kong, although he's European. We have 2 children, 2 boys who were born in Brussels. We speak English at home. If you were to ask my children, you know, who they are or where they are from, they would say they are from Brussels, but they are not completely clear on their nationality. So also, you know, this sort of third country kids. As for my profession, I have a background in consumer goods and in life sciences. My corporate homes were PepsiCo and Novartis. And for many years, I ran my own business out of Belgium, advising big multinational clients in the area of commercial effectiveness, marketing excellence. I wrote many strat plans, brand plans, marketing plans with big companies in health. So anyone in the sort of health spectrum, from medical nutrition to hardcore pharma clients. And then, I did a postgraduate diploma program during the pandemic, got a postgraduate degree, moved to Portugal 2 years ago, and still work with my clients. But I also manage a company here in Portugal called HealthTech Portugal, which is aiming to be a services and innovation hub for medtech in Europe. So it's very, very exciting. That's basically, you know, where I am right now.
Amazing. So, Anna, how did you discover Portugal? Take us back to sort of what you knew about Portugal, your first visits, what surprised you, and what grabbed you?
It's just quite a story. So as usual, you know, when people decide on or not decide, maybe sometimes it's spontaneous, on a big move like that, it's a confluence of events that leads you here. In our case, it was born out of the desperation of the pandemic, which in you know, those very populated countries in northern Western Europe was very, very harsh. We had these long, harsh lockdowns and many, many, let's say, inconveniences, as the world did. But we found it very, very tough, tough in Benelux. So there was certainly one reason we were sort of burned out after that experience.
You were in Belgium before you came.
We were in Belgium at the time, yes. And another point was our older son was graduating high school, and we knew that he was going to leave home. Our little son is still at the age where he could be easily moved. He was in international education, so that made things easier. And then what also happened is, I remember a friend from the US told me, Anna, you must watch that, you know, that YouTube guy. And he's talking about, you know, going where you are treated best. And he's talking about taxes. And his name is Nomad Capitalist. Go watch the video. So I remember I switched on that YouTube channel in the middle of pandemic. And there it was, this American guy talking about Portugal. And that was the only video I ever saw of him. And that video obviously impacted me so much. I said, like, what have I missed? You know, I've been to Portugal once before. I'm extremely, let's say, well-traveled because in my life, I sort of created my life this way, to have this international access through my work and otherwise. Anyway, so I realized I missed Portugal. I didn't know these things about Portugal that he was preaching in that video, and I got extremely interested. So I straight away told my husband, you must watch this video. He was very, very resistant first, but then he watched. And then, you know, after he watched, life was never the same. We decided on the spot that it would be a perfect place for us to move to as a sort of next step on our journey. And within months, we were ready to go. So essentially, we watched that video in March. It wasn't anything special. It was one of his videos, okay? It wasn't any particular video. It's just, it was very compelling, I thought. And so we watched it in March, and by August, we were, you know, unpacking our bags here in near Lisbon.
Amazing.
So after many, many years in Belgium, and after a whole, you know, complex arrangement and life we had there, we basically disentangled ourselves completely and moved here.
And your husband had never been here either?
So we've been here. My husband and I, we came to Portugal once, I remember, in the 90s. But at the time, Dylan, I did not connect with this country. It was somehow archaic, and it was sort of quaint and cute, but without much, you know, influence on me at the time. But of course, things, you know, when we watched that video and we got the vibe of what it is, then, you know, I came here for a visit for 2 days in order to find the house and find the school. And you know, there I completely fell in love from the moment I saw Lisbon from the air. That was the moment I essentially, you know, lost myself in Portugal.
What do you think it was? Like you mentioned, the first visits, nothing really grabbed you. Things change in us, things change in a place, and then there's a connection at a certain time that just makes sense. What do you think were those things that appealed, you know, what you saw in the video, what you kind of experienced on that first trip? What were those things that grabbed you and thought, okay, yeah, this is where we want to be next?
Yeah. So, you know, when I came to Portugal, it was already with a specific purpose of finding a house and finding a school. So things were decided already by then. And we decided, you know, I think that some of the biggest things, decisions you take in life, you take emotionally, you take, you know, because of a gut feel or on the spot, like to have children or maybe even to, you know, to get married to someone. I don't know. I take decisions like that probably from the intuition. So I had that sense that this was the right move for us. And I can't really explain why. Probably because, you know, I was by that time, I was extremely well traveled. You know, I had international access through my work. I was, before the pandemic, I was in the US, you know, 10 times a year. And I was in Europe everywhere all the time because all my clients are sitting internationally. I was in Asia. So I always had that opportunity to, you know, go places and sort of compare. And many places I didn't go to as a tourist, but someone who came there maybe for work or to visit friends and returned and again and sort of immersed herself in the situation. So I had a lot of comparison by that time. And when I came to Lisbon to actually sort of to start to, it was June 2021 exactly. I came here to find a house and to confirm that this is the right school for our son. I remember I was landing in Lisbon, and you know, you when you arrive, the flight path. So the airport is located essentially in the city, as many people know. It seems very dangerous, but it's the case. So there has been a fight going on for the last 20 years where to move the airport to, but so far, no decision has been taken. So we are still landing like downtown, pretty much. So as I was landing in Lisbon, I saw the Red Bridge of Lisbon from the air, you know, against this backdrop of like perfect blue sky, which you get in Portugal every day practically. And, you know, the green Tejo River, so Tagus River below me, and that, you know, city ahead of me. And it's just in that moment, I was already, you know, extremely excited about it and pretty much in love. Then I arrived. I remember the first impressions were, you know, the air was extremely pleasant and it was clean. And I remember we had an outside position in that airplane. So I, you know, came out and breathed the air, which was warm. And there was this light wind, which we typically get a little light wind from the Atlantic here. So it never gets too hot. It's always just very pleasant. And then I got into an Uber, and there was a decisive moment for me because I was driving through Lisbon during the time when the jacarandas are blooming. I don't know if you are, you guys get it in wherever you are. I think you are in Porto. Do you have a lot of jacarandas there?
Yeah, they're everywhere.
Yeah, so jacarandas, maybe for me, it was something, you know, incredible because jacarandas were in full bloom, and together with Lisbon and the light there, the, you know, those white tiles on all the pavements, the calçadas, which are white, often with like intricate designs and patterns, together all that created this impression on me, which was extraordinary. And you know, those trees were in full bloom. It was all like a movie set. I remember I was driving in that Uber, just sort of sobbing there in the back because I was so taken by that fall, by the beauty of this place. And many people actually say that when they come to Portugal, you know, they get this special vibe, even like very serious business people and, you know, finance people and the like, they feel like a balm on their soul or something along these lines, something a bit esoteric. So that's what I was in. I was in that vibe, you know. And then I remember that evening I went to the river. And there it was, this perfect sunset over the river, and there was a ferry boat crossing and birds and people were dancing and there was music. And then there was this graffiti, which I captured in my photo and I posted on Instagram, this graffiti on some disused pier. And the graffiti said, life is good. And this was like a, you know, like a premonition of things to come and like a blessing for me. I cannot quite express, you know, this is such a profound experience. So that's Portugal for you. It just takes you from day one, or at least that's how I experienced it. And there, you know, within 2 days, I arranged that house with an agent I met then and there, and I arranged school, and then we were supposed to come back 2 weeks later in order for my husband and my younger son to see where they are going to be living. But unfortunately, we all got COVID because my older son was then doing a gap year in South Africa. He came over and he brought whatever the variant was at the time. We all got COVID, so we never visited anymore. So the first time they came to Portugal was to move here on August 13th. We arrived with our car and we started.
Amazing, amazing. How has that experience been? You know, you've had that kind of love at first sight moment yeah. with the sunset and the life yeah. is good and the music and everything, which everybody has. But it's a different situation when it's time to settle down, work, kids got to go to school.
Yeah.
We've got to find these daily activities that make sense for us. How has that experience been for you, Anna?
Yeah, so as I said to you, you know, the love story continues. And I asked some older expats, you know, when is the honeymoon over? And they say, well, it's never all over. You know, I know people who have lived here 8 years, 10 years, 14 years, 17 years, and they all are still into it very much. So everyday life is, I would say, the quality of life is, you know, at least 200% higher than anywhere I lived before. And I think each of us individually in the family and collectively, we are like, you know, 300% happier than ever before. And that brings me to the point that actually where you live plays a big role in your life satisfaction. And you know, there are so many good things about Portugal. I work very hard here. I would argue I work here more than I work, you know, in Belgium or Germany. I'm very focused. But then every day can be like a mini vacation too, because, you know, every day at 5 p.m. I can, if I want to, I can drive for a couple of minutes and have a drink on the beach, or I can walk along the ocean, you know, during the lunchtime or whatever. So it's the everyday life is as good for me as that first moment. And in fact, I am in continuous awe of Portugal. And I think that Portugal makes me, in a way, return to, you know, sort of the feeling that you had when you were a child. Of the, you know, obviously, it's a new country still for me, so this will settle. But, you know, this feeling of wonder, of experiencing beauty, of experiencing life fully, I have that here. I never thought it was possible for me at my age and in life stage. Not at all. I never expected that at all.
What are some of the things now that you've been here? You've traveled all over the world. You've lived and worked in so many different places. What do you think are some of the things that are unique to this country that you appreciate?
Yeah, I'm sure the people you are talking to, you know, give you the usual suspects. So I will not mention those things that are, of course, wonderful and we all love them, that are special Portugal. But a couple
when
of
the usual suspects, what, wine, food, where?
Yeah, the food, the wine, the weather. You know.
You're going to take us deeper. Come on.
Nice. I don't know if deeper, but maybe somewhere else. So one thing I noticed, which is, you know, very different from other places, is how empty Portugal is. And this is actually a wonderful quality. So we love it how empty Portugal is. And what I mean by that, that even in high season, things are like, places are not crowded. So you never experience that, you know, that situation that you have. Oh, I'm just reminiscing, you know, like in Spain or in Italy or in Greece, where you have, you know, the loads and loads of tourists descending on the same spot at the same time. And, you know, you have no pleasure out of visiting a place whatsoever. So here I find that the intensity is lighter, probably because we are a little further. We are more sort of on the outskirts of Europe. Maybe not everyone has discovered it yet. Not everyone wants to travel that far from, you know, Western capitals. But it is real. So things are not busy. Places are not busy. Travel is easy. You know, locally here, we take a car. We are everywhere where we need to be within 10 minutes distance. Whereas before, you know, in Brussels, it would be, or near Brussels, at the outskirts of Brussels, we lived, it would be 30 minutes instead of 10. And then I remember recently I was taking a walk along the ocean on a walkway called the Paradão. Paradão is a very sort of epic place where, you know, cultures meet and social strata mix, and everyone is there on the Paradão walking or running or biking or whatever. So I was walking there, and I posted a photo on my Instagram feed, you know, with breaking waves and just the usual views, beautiful views. Basically, my Instagram is like an ode to Portugal. And I remember my friend from New York, Brandy, wrote in a comment, Anna, but where are all the people? And my answer was, I don't know where they are, Brandy, but they are not in Portugal. So this is a wonderful thing for us. We are never like, we come out of Benelux. Benelux is, you know, one of the biggest concentration of people per square kilometers in the world. So you are
Hong Kong of Europe.
Yeah, or Bangladesh of Europe, whatever. So we are used to, you know, standing in long lines to go to the coast. We are used to countries being like a parking lot. We are used to people being on top of each other in a supermarket. I just don't have that feeling here in Portugal. So for me, this is a big difference, which I value. Another thing which I've noticed, which is just so enchanting for me, is the fact that we have, I know for people who live, obviously, in California, or places like that, it's going to be maybe more normal. But for me, from, you know, North Europe, Central Europe, Western Europe, the fact that we have a sunset every evening or almost every evening is something incredible for me. So every night, every evening, we have this gorgeous, you know, spectacle to watch. Here, I live near Sintra, so behind the Sintra Mountain, or 10 minutes further, you know, over the ocean, gorgeous, gorgeous spectacle unfolding. I remember in the north, you know, those spectacular sunsets, well, maybe you had it once every 3 months, and then people would post it on their stories and make a big deal out of it and take photos. So here we have it on a daily basis, essentially. And then also, what is very, very special, I don't know if you noticed it, Dylan, but someone explained it to me, it's because of our geographic location and how we are positioned vis-a-vis the sun. Essentially, whenever there's rain, which is not very often, but we would have these short, you know, heavy rains for an hour or two. And then afterwards, there's sunshine. Obviously, there will be a rainbow. So we sometimes have like three rainbows a day. And again, rainbow was a phenomenon I saw maybe, you know, once every half a year in Belgium or in Germany or in Poland. Whereas here, it's like a lot of rainbows. And often we get like a double rainbow, you know, and I remember that one day I saw three rainbows in one particular day. It was just awesome. So, you know, these are the sort of differences. I think overall also differences in people. People are, and I don't want to, you know, sound, there's always danger of sounding smug or colonial or like a foreigner. Mm-hmm. But people are, there's a certain innocence in people and certain grace and certain calm that I like. And obviously, you know, Portugal was praised very much for the way they went through the pandemic. And that was, I think, largely due to this sort of national character, which is like that. It's calmer. It's less confrontational. It's less stressed. People fight less with each other. There's like less pressure on us, you know. There is no fighting in the subway and those type of things that you see in London or you see in Germany or, you know, where people are aggressive to each other because they are so stressed. There's less of that here, or there's none of that here. In fact, it takes an effort to sort of switch gears and be in this new persona because you want to fit with the rest. You don't want to be like this type A, you know, at the cashier where they take time to talk to each other. You sort of, okay, you wait, you calm down, you try to relax and try to appreciate that, you know, you are in life.
Yeah. Anna, you also had a different start as well to Portugal because you were on your back for a few months recovering from an injury. I mean, how was it? So you experienced Portugal in a different way, but what was that like for you and being in this place during that time? Did it make it easier for you being here?
Oh yeah. So for me, so what happened is in February 2022, I'm a skier. I grew up in the mountains in Poland. So I ski. So I went to Austria in order to ski. And, you know, on the first day I fell in a very banal way, but gave myself a very, very serious injury, actually five different injuries in my knee, which required, you know, transportation back and surgery here in Portugal. So I first spent a few weeks recovering to be ready even to be operated. Then I had the experience of the Portuguese healthcare, where I was taken care of, you know, by top doctors who did a fantastic job on my knee. And then the recovery from that with everything it entails. It's a big, you know, character building experience. It's a big thing. And people, you know, obviously people have similar experiences, disease, injury, and all that. It's not easy. Okay. It's difficult on the brain. So I was at home for multiple months indeed. And from someone who's super active and in life, I was all of a sudden stuck here at home, or I could be driven, barely with my leg in specific positions that I'm with crutches and whatnot. So overall, I think that I would not have recovered as well if I was recovering somewhere else. So here I at least had this beautiful backdrop every day of sunshine and gorgeous views, and just on my doorstep, all the beauty around me. So that helped me. I was surrounded by really caring people, because one of the hallmarks of Portugal is that you become, for the first time in my life, a true member of the community, expats, Portuguese, mixed, whatever, who love you. So I experienced a lot of that. And I just, the whole Portugal experience in the context of that injury and not being able to walk and being really disabled for many months, that I think that was... that was my blessing here. I would not be as well as I am right now if I was recovering somewhere else. I think I would be for sure very depressed and not as well. Let's put it this way. So yeah, Portugal is this gentle, beautiful, graceful place, which just helps life and makes things easier.
Yeah, I had a similar experience. I was in hospital. I've spoken a few times about it on the podcast. I was in hospital for 5 months in 2019. And I have to say, if it wasn't for the people that I dealt with on a regular basis, I don't know how I would have made that, the way they care, the way that they know that I'm not Portuguese. They know I'm not from their country, but they treat you like one of their own. And this is huge. Why do you think it's like that here? Because it is something unique. It's something very different to what you'll experience in a lot of other countries. But what do you think is the reason?
Mm-hmm. So first of all, I confirm, there are strangers. So there were some Portuguese people I met, barely met, who helped me navigate through the system for no reason whatsoever. And that actually great, inconvenience to them. But, I had the perfect doctor. I had the reimbursement from the insurance. I had this, I had that, I had physio. Thanks to these people, I had absolutely no clue. I was, fresh off the boat. I was in Portugal maybe for 5 months when this thing happened. I obviously didn't speak the language. I was just in the insurance, insurance program. And, it was just overwhelming, and I got that incredible help at that stage. Why is it like that? I think it's just it's the testimonial to how these people are here. They help you in a genuine way without expecting things back, to the extent that it was very strange. At some point I didn't know how to handle my insurance matters, so I was put in touch with a lady, with a woman who didn't speak very good English and who didn't know me and who was a friend of a friend. And this person, took matters in her own hands, that she facilitated this whole process, which was complex and, costly for the insurance company, to completion. For no reason, she never wanted anything for it. She didn't know me. She didn't have to do it. She didn't care. She didn't have to care, but she did. So I don't know how to explain it. It's just Portugal. It's just part of the magic of this country. And it's obviously magic is often created by people. I started writing poetry, right, while being so stuck at home. So I remember I wrote, if I may quote, one of my poems, and it says, where the world forgot to be harsh, where my heart and nerve endings are calm, where I am loved by life, this is my private Portugal. Where the world forgot to be harsh. The world is not harsh in Portugal, in my opinion. So that's part of that. I think it's part of that story.
Yeah. Incredible. I want to come back to your poetry. We're going to come back to your poetry just now. but just quickly talk to us as Anna, the mom of a younger boy. Yeah. This place, for me, I've got young children as well. And it's one of my reasons for coming here was at some stage I want a family and I want them to be somewhere where they have a great life. And my kids have an amazing life here for various reasons. Let's talk as Anna, the mom.
Yeah, sure.
Tell us about the life your boy has here and what you appreciate about Portugal for children.
Yes, my older boy is at the university already. He's in Amsterdam, so he comes here only for vacations and that's his staying and leaves. But our little son, who is 11, is at an international school here locally in near Lisbon, where we live. And what I love, you know, I love Portugal for him. And he recently came to me and he says, Mama, I'm so happy living here.
Oh,
I'm going to cry. You know, Mama, I'm so happy living here. So for children, what is in it for Portugal? Portugal, where we are, he can essentially surf throughout the year. So this boy took to surfing and he became a little surf pro, you know, at 11. Of course, this is in inverted commas, surfing pro. So he surfs a lot. So 2-3 times a week, he surfs. Summer, winter, December, you know, June, he's at it, he's surfing. So he's surfing, he's exposed to the ocean, you know, in a way that we could, I was never exposed to, and never at ease with waves, etc., like he is. So this is something very special. Surfing is a great sport, and it opens up, you know, opportunities for this whole lifestyle. He has these sort of mentors, you know, these young surf instructors who are often, you know, long hair and very fit body, and this whole, you know, surfing culture and a van and surfboard boards and the sand. It connotes, you know, a certain lifestyle. Of course, typically we know it from places like Hawaii or California, but we have it here in Portugal. So my son does that. He's outdoors basically all the time. Basically, we are all outdoors all the time, which brings us into your, you know, the title of your podcast, Simple Life. It brings you back into that simplicity of life, being outdoor, doing simple things, doing things with your body also. So he's outdoor, you know, biking. He can be very independent here in a much different way than I think in Northern Europe, where we are afraid for our kids. We are afraid, I don't even mention the United States, but also in the North, we are in Europe, we are, you know, we are afraid to let them out of the house because the traffic is dangerous, or, you know, this or that. Here they are, it feels very safe. And I think most people will say the same if they have children. So my son is biking, he's meeting friends, he's independent, he just enjoys life tremendously. And oh yeah, that's another thing which is so cool. You know, they have a school uniform, and well, there's an option to have shorts or to have long pants. We have never once ordered long pants, and he has never ever worn long pants in 2 years. So that is a big deal for us. You know, we are sort of like, wow, we can be lightly dressed throughout the year, and it's just incredible. Yeah,
amazing. So you mentioned earlier in the beginning of the interview, Portugal is your geographic soulmate.
That's right.
And as you do when you, as some people do when they find a soulmate, they write poetry. You've written some beautiful poetry about Portugal. Do you want to share some?
I would love that. So it's my debut. I've never really, you know, shared it publicly, and all my friends get it. I typically, you know, distribute it to people on WhatsApp, and sometimes I post it on Instagram. But I only dare to read it to you, Dylan, because I did speak to like a published poet or professional poet, and this person said, okay, Anna, yeah, you can go ahead. There's some, you know, value in this, what you are creating here. So yeah, so when I was so horribly stuck, you know, with a leg and in pain and in sort of mental suffering, a lot of insecurity, you are in a foreign country, you are, you know, you're stuck with a major, major surgery and major injury. Just, you are very vulnerable. So then I, you know, all I had, I could go inwards during that time, and I had to create the worlds for myself. Obviously I worked, so I sort of tried to have like daily challenges. But then, you know, this whole love for Portugal had to get channeled somehow, and it got channeled through this sport. Might have as well, you know, taken up painting, but I'm not talented this way. So I write poems in English. So in case you hear any English mistakes, please forgive me for that. But I'm not a native English speaker. But yeah, and those poems are pretty short. So hopefully I won't bother you too much with.
Not at all. I'm excited to hear.
Thought, Dylan. So I'm. So one disclaimer I want to make, obviously, as you can see, I'm a little bit insecure about it. One disclaimer, sometimes I like cry when I read my own poetry. Not because I'm self-obsessed, but because it just comes from such a deep place, and I connect to the place, and that makes me, you know, makes me want to cry. Anyway, I'll start you out on a poem called Reverse Saudade. Saudade, we probably your listeners know what saudade is. It's this unexplained, you know, longing that people have. We all have it as human beings, right? I think in German they call it Sehnsucht. There are some equivalents, but largely it's untranslatable.
Yes.
It's sort of melancholic longing for something which could have been but is not, or maybe for someone, or, you know, it's existential angst, basically. Anyway, so my poem is called Reverse Saudade, and it's a It's a poem about, I typically write these poems on a flight when I'm flying to I have to run a workshop in another country, or if I'm flying to see my family, I immediately start missing Portugal and I start writing poetry on these flights. So this is one of those. And it will use a term, which I wanted to explain. The term is Era dos Descobrimentos, which means the age of exploration.
Age of discovery.
So that's this period in Portuguese history. Okay, I'll just read you this poem. I used to love the moment when the plane climbed up to a point of no return. My modus operandi was to break out and vanish from life and from me. It was my soul's own version of Era dos Descobrimentos, my age of exploration, a long, perilous voyage, chronicling and mapping new routes on stormy seas. I could have never predicted the discovery of Portugal on one of those trips. Now that I found my soulmate, gone is the urge to leave. I am all in. That's just one point.
I love that. Beautiful. Yeah. You have another?
Yeah, I've got one more, if you want. I've got like 40.
I definitely want. 40. How many?
I think 40, about 40. I mean, they just keep coming.
14 or 40?
40.
You've written 40 poems about Portugal.
Yeah.
You need to publish a book. You have to publish a book.
Probably one day I would like to. I don't know how to approach that, but maybe one day.
Self-publish.
People are saying to me, all these expats, because my expat friends, they all love this. Somehow it connects with them, for them. And people describe different experiences they have while reading. Some people ask me, hey, can I use it in a yoga workshop? Can I do this? I say, yeah, go ahead, use it. But they are joking. I'm going to be like the Fernando Pessoa of the expat community.
Never. Just happier. He was quite a sad guy.
Yeah. Mine is there's a happier touch to it. Yeah. So this one is called Situation in the South. People also identify a lot with this. So it's about reinvention, essentially. The recent move to the South dismantled shabby fences of my mind, accessed those disused yet vast terrains of the heart. In one audacious clean sweep, the crumbled parts of my soul, mangled memories of decades past, were simply gone. The radical and permanent removal of debris, rubble, and tears rewound back months and years, grew flowers in empty fields. Emboldened by the sight, I dared to open to life and grow the next version of me under the Portuguese sun.
Beautiful. That's wonderful.
Thanks. Yeah.
That's about healing. It's about healing and
sort of reinvention. And I think many people come here to Portugal to start new life somehow. You know, there are many entrepreneurs coming here doing the new thing, new venture. There are people coming here after, you know, maybe a loss in their life, or people who are changing life stage, for example. Okay, typically people who retire, but not necessarily only retirees. So people change, and obviously they, you know, it's their new home, so they need to sort of start new, and this connects with that feeling of being able to blossom again, I guess, and to start something new and do something new in your life. Yeah.
Anna, what do you want people to know? We have listeners from all over the world. I have clients from all over the world, as you know. I'm a realtor, and one of the things that everybody always talks about in their top three things of why they love it here, the people. Just talk a little bit, now that you've been here for longer, talk a bit about your experience of Portuguese people.
Yeah, so I'm very extroverted and social, so I will tend to become part of networks and groups and clubs and places like that. So typically it's interesting here because the whole scene is less siloed than I remember it from other places,
Less siloed? What do you mean?
It's less siloed. In other words, let's say if you are in a place like, Frankfurt or Brussels, you will typically have, you know, the Swedish club and club, and, you know, and the Belgians will be together and the Swedes will be together. So here it's all mixed. It's much more a sort of pioneering mentality and pioneering spirit. I don't know why I'm comparing it to the pioneers, but there's something in it, like a new opportunity, new community. Mm-hmm. People connect very easily. You are invited into their group straight away. And this goes, I know you want me to talk about the Portuguese. This goes for both the, you know, the foreigners here as well as the Portuguese. So the Portuguese, how I experience the Portuguese are, as I already said, when you asked me something else, it's difficult to define, but there is a certain innocence about people, and people, I think, are less cynical, less spoiled, more pure somehow in the way they perceive the world. They are extremely helpful. They are extremely tolerant. They more than tolerate us foreigners here. They like us. They allow us into their country, and they, you know, they like us somehow. Sometimes I wonder, like, why do they even like us like that? Because there are quite a few of us, you know, more and more coming. So the people like me who have decided to, you know, after the pandemic to come over and start something here, etc. But they somehow allow us to be here and like us to be here and involve us. I don't know what else to say about the Portuguese people, but on the one hand, they are very European. So European as in, you know, I meet through my work and through my professional activity, I met a lot of very modern, you know, young Portuguese people. Portugal, I think, is also like the second biggest producer of engineers in Europe. They have massively successful programs here, academic programs delivering this you know, top talent in tech, in engineering, etc. Some great, you know, business school, great young people. So yeah. So on the one hand, it's terribly European, like, you know, on par with all the other places that I have lived in or worked in. And on the other hand, there's a certain special quality to the Portuguese, which is the soft, gentle, and more pure and innocent quality without being contrived or without being spoiled or cynical or sarcastic. You know, there's not this. There's a certain melancholy, I think, which is part of being Portuguese, which is ties in with very well with saudade and with fado. You know, they sometimes they can be a little heavy going, but I'm Polish. The Poles are, you know, known for being extremely heavy going. So I connect like that in many ways because of our, you know, there are shared aspects of history with the communism and dictatorship concept and being somehow subjugated for years. There are certain like similarities. And this country in some bizarre way reminds me of Poland, you know, where I grew up, or Central Eastern Europe, where I grew up. So, yeah.
I mean, Anna, but you mentioned you had a line in your first poem that you read where you wrote, "I'm all in."
Yes.
This is an important factor because you like you mentioned, you're an outgoing person, but you're a person that has decided to engage. You're a person that has decided to give everything to this new home, this new place that you're in.
Yeah.
For people that are looking to make the move, for people that are looking to spend more time in Portugal, that's a super important thing to do is to engage, is to be part of it, to accept the people, the country, the culture, the ways for the way that it is. I mean, what other tips could you give to people in order to just find their way here, to settle, to engage, to just be part of the way that things are here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think you can do two things. Either you can be disengaged, like I used to be in those other countries I lived in, which is not giving the countries a favor, and it's not good for us actually to live in this sort of, I used to cultivate the thought, oh, I just live here, but I don't really care because I can go here, I can go there, you know. It doesn't make sense. So here in Portugal, I think it is absolutely in our favor. It's good for us to integrate as much as we can. So I remember when I arrived here, my thought was like, actually, you don't have to speak Portuguese. It's true, you don't, because people here speak good English no matter where you go. A person in a supermarket at the cashier can actually speak, you know, perfect English to you because they watched a lot of American series in original language without subtitles, because in small countries they don't dub, or maybe there are subtitles. Yeah, that's what I want to say, that without dubbing, like in large countries. Yes. So English is very prevalent. You can stay in your, you know, splendid isolation of an expat group or WhatsApp group for a specific community or whatever, but you just experience, you know, a tiny bit of what's possible. In order to really discover Portugal, you need to engage. And, you know, to know, okay, I have to, for example, you know, there's this secret place sitting on top of this rock with a spectacular view, and there's a restaurant, you know, there with the freshest fish. It's not fancy. It's not, you know, somewhere where foreigners go, but it's a beloved place, or, you know, in that part of the world. Well, you can find out things like that from your Portuguese friends if you engage, because otherwise you don't know. So I remember I discovered through a Portuguese friend who took me, actually it's between you know, Carcavelos and Lisbon, so a very urban area. He took me to a place which was just mind-boggling. It's another restaurant. You know, unfortunately, you have to be very careful here. You're going to be eating and drinking a lot, that's clear. Food and drink is extremely abundant and wonderful, so you want to continue, you know, continuously eat. Anyway, so we were walking, and he took me to this place, which was in a little port, a little marina, but very local, with extremely, let's say, rough-looking, you know, eating spot with the freshest fish brought directly from the boat. And I could have only discovered it because of this Portuguese friend. I would have never put my foot there. I would have not known that this exists, you know, and it's such a discovery. I've been back, I think, 3 times, and I think I posted also on my Instagram for people who want to look later. You know, there's this guy shouting, you know, Portuguese guy just shouting, you know, about the fish, etc. And there's this whole vibe, insane. And there was not, when I was there, not one foreigner, you know, sitting there, which is great.
Those are the best. Those are the best.
You know, these are some of the anecdotes, but that's how you have to know. You have to know, like in every country, you have to like know where to go. Know, oh, this is the scenic route you should take, Anna. You know, don't go there. Go this way. So these type of, you know, things you find out by engaging with people and just,
Yeah, very nice.
And by loving, you have to love. I think there's no problem loving Portugal, because Portugal is extremely easy to love. And all the foreigners, we are a little bit protective now, because there are so many of us, you know, foreigners coming here. We only want like nice foreigners to come here, so that you guys love Portugal with us and take care of it and protect it. But most of my friends are extremely protective about Portugal. If you make some unpopular comment, you know, like negative comment about anything on social media, one of the groups or whatever, you get beaten down by all these foreigners, you know, protecting Portugal.
Yeah.
I know that I sound like I live in a bit in a la la land, and it's true. I choose to see the beauty. I choose to maybe ignore certain things people complain about. Yes, indeed, there is some bureaucracy. But you know what? I've also experienced bureaucracy in Germany and in Belgium and in Poland. My God, this is bureaucratic. So yeah, I just tolerate, you know, things are done slightly differently than elsewhere for this and you know, similar for that. So you just sort of adapt. That's why, you know, we are human beings. We can change our mind, we can adapt, and we just roll with it.
Yeah, exactly. Anna, what's one thing that you would like people to remember and take away from our conversation? Just one thing.
Mm-hmm. So I think that what I want to say is that that the place where we live has a huge impact, massive impact on our quality of life. And this is something I didn't realize until now, or maybe I undervalued as a concept. And now I realize it fully, because being here, so I believe you can create your own reality. Okay, for example, by moving here. And then you can live in a, I don't want to call it a paradise, but in a, you know, in an extremely good circumstance, just because of the location where you are, you know, on the map of the world. And I think that's the one message I wanted to share.
Wonderful. How can people follow you online? Maybe see some of your poetry. You spoke about photos that you publish. Where can people follow and just follow your journey?
Yeah. So, you know, for my professional life, I'm on LinkedIn, obviously, and that's Anna Mulock-Hauer, and AnnaMulockHower, double name, Mulock-Hauer with a U, HOUWER. That's LinkedIn. Same on Instagram. Instagram is my, you know, vanity account. It's a bit mindless, but it's very loving towards Portugal. I post a lot of stories about Portugal and a lot of beautiful, you know, places that I see every day around me, or if I make little trips within the country, etc. So on Instagram, I am Anna Mulock-Hauer, or Brussels Blonde, spelled French style, so Bruxelles Blonde, but Anna Mulock-Hauer. I'm also on Strava. Strava is a little bit more, you know, niche. and that I used to document my recovery journey from that knee issue, surgery, etc. Yeah.
Wonderful. So we'll put some links in the show notes so that people can follow you and get in touch.
Nice.
Anna, a question that we ask all of our guests.
Yes.
Portugal, the simple life. Why?
Mm-hmm. So for me, you know, for a complex person with a complex mind, this is for one simple life. Yes, indeed. So Portugal brings you back to basics. Basics of just being a human being. You know, you get up, there is sunshine, which puts you in a good mood. you breathe clean air because you are sitting at the edge of Europe with not much pollution, very different air quality versus, you know, the other places in Central Western Europe, etc. You eat freshest food. You know, the Portuguese are quite snobbish about the fact that they're eating, you know, clean and wild Atlantic fish vis-a-vis maybe the fish that has been marinating itself in its own stuff in the Mediterranean, etc. So they are very, you know, great food. You eat this, you breathe this clean air, you are outdoors most of the time. That is simplicity. You don't need much. You realize you don't need much besides, you know, some maybe sardines, you know, grilled with bread and a bottle of local wine, which nobody knows about because they are not exporting it. So it's like a secret that only Portuguese know, and, you know, a few friends, and a gorgeous day is unfolding, and the lunch, you know, takes 6 hours, and you start at, you know, 2 p.m. and you finish at in the evening, and things like that. So this is simple life. You can arrange yourself in a very, very simple way in Portugal. You don't have to live like a, you know, completely sophisticated lifestyle to benefit from things. You can live very simply, and many people do. And of course, there is this other dimension for those people who are more interested in, you know, sophisticated. There's this whole eco chic concept, and we have some very fancy places, you know, where stars and famous people buy properties and build hotels, etc. And they are all engaging this sort of semi hippie eco chic. You know, there's also this, but you can live very simply in Portugal and just look. If I leave my house now and I start walking, you know, within minutes, I am in this gorgeous, gorgeous nature. I'm near Sintra. Lord Byron, so the famous English poet, called where I am glorious Eden for a good reason. It's just so, you know, beautiful, mysterious, wonderful. So I can just do it after we are done. You know, I'm probably going to go for a walk to experience that. It's just very simple here.
Beautiful. Anna, thank you so much for being on the podcast. It's been a pleasure.
Dylan, such great pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome. And I'm going to let you call it.
It's a wrap.
So thank you once again to our guest, and thank you to all of you for listening. Please subscribe, share with your friends, give us a thumbs up, and please leave a comment or a review. We always love to hear from you. Don't forget, Portugal the Simple Life also has a magazine, so download it. It's for free. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And as we say in Portugal, Sejas bem-vindo. Welcome to the Simple Life.